ago, I came to Pastor Gene, I said, "Is 11 o'clock yet?" As the Lord was laying this message on my heart, I couldn't wait for it to get here. I just sat there just now waiting, "Oh no, not yet, not yet." Reverential fear. Good message last night, Pastor. I couldn't help but think of my own situation with my father as you spoke of your daughter having a loving fear of her father. We want to do the right thing. We want our father to love us. We fear them because they're greater than we are. They're smarter than we are. They're bigger than we are. My Lord is infinite wisdom. Nothing is wiser than the Lord. I used to have a fear of standing before people. For you to come to me any time before the Lord called me out of darkness, brought me under the preaching of the gospel, I would have said, "You're absolutely nuts if you think I'm going to stand up before anybody and talk. You people scare me." It doesn't scare me so much now, but I do have that fear still in me. The Lord says we must worship in spirit and in truth. I stand before men who are very experienced in preaching, very knowledgeable, much more knowledgeable than I am about the gospel. They've been studying it a lot longer. In a way, I have a little fear of that, honestly. Yet if my message is the right one, the same message that they preached, I have nothing to fear. See, I can't do anything. Whatever I have to say, the Lord has to apply to your heart. It must be revealed by the Father, the Son. What an honor. What a privilege it is to stand here this morning. What a privilege it is to come before God's people and preach the good news of Christ Jesus, the God-man, and his substitutionary death for his chosen people. But I would also suggest that the honor is not mine alone. The privilege is not mine alone. Does not this privilege and honor also belong to you, the ones who hear his gospel as well?
Amen.
Millions of people will gather today and tomorrow morning in buildings just like this. Some a little grander, some a little less. Maybe in homes. All around the globe, groups will gather and listen to men and women speak about a different Jesus. I was listening to Pastor Tim James in a message just recently, and he mentioned it as the churches today are churches of self-help. If you just get a little bit smarter, if you stop doing those foolish things you were doing before, and you come forward and accept Christ into your heart, you'll have a better life. They will hear about a Jesus who loves every person, but cannot save all that he loves because they won't let him. In 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, "They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof." Their Jesus, who brought famine upon the land to save his people. The Jesus who raised up a king named Pharaoh just to destroy him. But that Jesus can't do anything unless you let him. That's what they say. That's denying the power of God. They will hear how the grace of God can only be received when you do something. Like exercise your free will, or get baptized, or worship on Saturday, or pray to Mother Mary, and the list goes on. In Jude 1:4 it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained, predestined, chosen, put in place by the one who puts all things in place. Ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." That's just a big word for evil. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Millions will go through that door marked death, never hearing with the ears of the heart the things of God concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people." Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 12, if you would. I don't know about you folks, but I still remember. It's been about 18 years since the Lord brought me into a church where the gospel was preached. But I still remember the way I used to think before He did. I had no problem with the ways of this world. Do whatever as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. I had no problem with little white lies. A little exaggeration never hurt anybody. You know that exaggeration I'm talking about, don't you? I caught a fish. about that big. I had no problems with immorality. Gays, people living together, unwed. I had no problem with hating someone if I had a reason to hate them. But even worse than those points that I just brought before you, I had no love for God. In my heart, I thought because I was not hurting others, as far as I knew that is, that I was an okay guy. I didn't need God. I can handle it on my own. As a matter of fact, spiritual things were foolishness to me. It's not that I had not heard of this one called Jesus who was a God-man, who came in human form. It's not that I had not heard of His going to the cross to pay the price for the sin for His people. It's not that I had not heard that He had been raised from the dead. It's not that I had not heard that He sits on His throne ruling the universe. I just had no need for Him in my world. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." My treasures were the things of this world, things that I could see, things that I could touch. So if I had heard these words that we find here in Mark 12, verse 29, and Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Yes, there are three, but they are one." The Lord our God is one Lord. That's the best way I can explain that to you. Just like that. The Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Think about that for a moment, will you? I've been married for 38 years. The Lord has blessed me greatly. And I do love my wife as best I can. But I don't know that I love her with all my heart. The Lord hasn't put me to that test, thankfully. I think I would. How am I going to love my God with all my heart? These words would have meant nothing to me. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was just as dead as Lazarus was, whom Christ had raised from the dead. I stunk of sin, just as Lazarus did. My heart was as dark and cold as a stone. Have you ever noticed that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who commanded the stone to be rolled away just before He called Lazarus to come forth? If you'd like to look at it sometime, look at John 11:39. A very picture of our being when God comes in the Spirit and He commands the stony heart removed, revealing new life in it. the life of Christ. You see, it's a matter of the heart, not the muscle that pumps our blood, but a deeper point. The heart, our very soul, the heart of our soul, the heart of our spirit. And this is my subject and my title for this morning's message, A Matter of the Heart. We've all heard the saying, my heart of hearts. Well, that's what we're talking about, our very inner being, the very foundation of who we are, the basis of our nature. God describes it in Jeremiah 17. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? One of the points that was brought before me when I first started hearing the gospel, and the Lord laid this to my heart very strongly, is in Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. I don't know about you folks, but I did not teach my children to lie. They learned that on their own. My dad was a man of discipline. I think you mentioned a little bit about that last night, maybe. He was the kind of guy, go get me a switch. And if you came back with a small one, you were in bigger trouble. I can tell you this, my dad did not teach me to lie. Just the opposite. But yet I knew it anyway. And I knew it well. I did not teach my children to lie. They learned it on their own, and so did I. Allow me to read an article from Pastor Clay Curtis. Pastor Curtis writes, it is not merely that the sinner cannot come to Christ, but he will not come to Christ that he may have life. It is not merely that he cannot see the truth, but that he loves darkness rather than light and does not want to see. Sinners are not willing to see. The natural will itself is in bondage. It takes the divine will of God to overcome the wicked will of man by creating life where there was no life. This blindness is more than blindness of the natural eye. It's blindness of the heart. Blindness of the will. Blindness of the conscience. Blindness of understanding. Blindness of all things spiritual. You who are yet blind may raise your objections to my gospel, but you are as unqualified to express an opinion about something that you have never seen as a blind man. As a blind man is to argue with you about the color of an object. You ever put thought into that? Could you imagine a blind man trying to argue with you what the color blue is? Turn to Acts 16 if you would. While you're turning there in Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God. My dad didn't teach me to lie. I learned that on my own. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. As it says in chapter 1 of Ephesians, God's people are predestined to the adoption of children in Christ Jesus. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That's God's words, folks. That's not mine. I'm not making that up. He chose us in Christ before the world began. Our Lord and Savior saved his people from their sins and therefore must call each one in his appointed time. All that the Father gave him must have a new heart. They must be born again. The Lord Jesus doeth all things well, or in other words, perfectly. And he came to me and cut away that stone of a heart when he had perfectly determined to do so. He brought me under the preaching of his gospel, and he gave me a new ear, a new heart to hear his word preached. We see an example of this very thing in Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 13 if you would. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. And here's what I want you to see. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended under the themes which were spoken of by Paul. Does it mention any of the other women there? Were their hearts open? We don't know. And I'm not going to stand here and guess either. That would be wrong. But we do know that this woman's heart was opened. Which means it was closed before, I would think. God opened. He prepared the heart of that certain woman that she would attend, or in other words, pay attention to, adhere to those words that Paul spoke of. What were these words that Paul spoke? Look over to verse 10 of the same chapter there. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Amen.
The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to the preaching of the gospel. I know what that's like. I remember the day sitting right over here. And this man pointed his finger at me all the whole time we were here. Just like that. Nobody else knew it, but I knew it. This very day, God is still opening the hearts of his people.
Amen.
Turn to the book of John, if you would, please. Chapter 1. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon in the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Those people that are talking about their other Jesus, they're not talking about the Jesus of Scripture. They're talking about a Jesus of their own imagination. Is God saving people under the preaching of lies? No. We must worship in spirit and in truth. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Paul wrote, "Let there be a curse on those that don't preach the gospel." Our glorious King, the Lord Jesus Christ, sits on his throne, ruling over all things, working all things for the good of his people. This is good news to a poor, weak, lost sinner. I was listening to a message by Pastor Donnie Bell. He was preaching from the book of John, and he brought us here to chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to cover everything that he did in this chapter, but he did make a statement about verse 29 that is so true. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold, take notice, look here, sit up, pay attention. Excuse me. This is important. This is not a game. Your eternal souls are at stake. There's only two places to go, folks, after this. We're either going to hell or we're going to heaven. Mankind fell with our human father, Adam. Our very nature is enmity. Our very nature is enmity against God. And we all deserve the wrath to come. But God has provided himself a sacrifice. God became a man. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Our sins cost us the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God. He cannot even look upon sin. But God. I love those words. But God. He didn't leave me to myself to make that decision. Because I would have made the wrong decision.
Yes, sir.
He came to me. He took that heart of mine. He cut away the stone that said, "You will not rule over me." And he said, "I will." But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has mercy upon whom he will have mercy. He is the potter, we are the clay. Some are vessels of mercy and some are vessels of wrath. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, not the sins of the whole world, for if that were so, the whole world would be saved. But of all those that are in the world, of every nation and every tongue that belong to him. Turn back just a couple more pages to the left there. Luke chapter 24. The question is, how do I know if I'm a vessel of mercy or if I'm a vessel of wrath? Look at verse 13 of 24. And behold, two of them, speaking of the disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was of Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. Jesus had been crucified on the cross. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" They were bummed out because the Jesus that they had hung out with for all this time died. And they thought he was going to be sitting on his throne, bringing them all back out of the oppressions and all that, and making all things right. They couldn't believe that he went to the cross and died. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in the word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying, that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Amen. And beginning at Moses, all the prophets he expounded, he explained, he taught unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ preached Christ. He didn't stand up and preach to them about how good the gathering of people they were. Didn't stand up and spend an entire hour talking about how we went over to this little town here in Mexico and helped these poor people out. That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to put that down, but that's not the gospel. That's what's being preached in the church, folks. I've been there. I've heard it. Or play a video of St. Patrick and how he brought up all these churches all over Ireland. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ in Scripture and what He's done for His people. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was manifest in the flesh. How do I know I'm a child of the living God? Look at verse 30 and 32 of the chapter we were just looking at. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, the two disciples, He took bread, and He blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. Yeah, it didn't say they got smart all of a sudden and decided, you know, we got to stop doing those stupid things we've done in life. No, it says their eyes were opened. And they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Does your heart burn within you when the truth is preached? Do your desires rotate around about the truths of Scripture? Or are your ears tickled by what you hear of yourself or the good things of those around you? The Scriptures tell us we must worship in spirit and in truth. Our Lord says, "My sheep hear My voice." He also said just before that, "You do not hear My voice because you are not My sheep," to some unbelieving Jews. Turn over to Matthew 16. God's sheep hear the voice of Christ through Scripture, through the preaching of God's Word. Our stony, rebellious hearts have been changed. We have a new heart that desires His Word. We want to be where God's people are. We want to hear the gospel preached because in our flesh we still see the evil wickedness that is in us. We still see the sinfulness of our flesh. I need to see the wonderful righteousness of Christ because I don't want to look at me anymore. I want to look to Him. When someone might ask who this Jesus is, we know. We know that He is sovereign Lord over all things. Free will Christianity doesn't preach that. They preach that it's your will. He's done everything and now you have to do something. You have to exercise your will. That's not sovereign over everything. Let me ask you something. If you really think about that, a God who knows every hair on your head is going to leave it up to you to get saved. I would mess that up real quick. He is our only righteousness. We have none of our own. He is our sacrifice. He paid the price. We cannot be charged a second time.
Amen.
All things. Romans 8:28, my brother's favorite verse. And I got to tell you, I watched my brother look to that verse every time his heart bled when his son died. The Lord gave comfort to Lee. All things. You think you got troubles? You think you're going through a tough time? You think our country's in trouble? And it is. But all things. All things. No matter who becomes president. All things are for the good. Because He made it so. He is the Son of the living God. Look at verse 13 through 18, if you would please, of Matthew. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I can talk myself blue up here, but unless God speaks to your heart, unless God comes to you and cuts that stony, dark heart away, giving a heart of flesh, a heart to hear and see the truth in His gospel, what I have to say is meaningless. Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed these things, but God the Father who art in heaven. Oh, how I pray, may the Lord be pleased to give you a heart that burns with the joy and the peace of His Word for His Son's sake. Before I bring this to a close, I must give you this warning, though. Proverbs 28:26, it says, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Why do you think the Lord said in His instructions, don't let your right hand let know what your left hand is doing? You ever put some thought into that? God knows everything. He's very wise, and He knows how foolish we are. I know some people in a church in Pollock Pines. Every time I hear them speak, it's all about what the right hand is doing. I don't hear about Christ over here. All it takes is just one little thing. Take our eye off of Christ and we can fall into that foolishness. It's what we're doing is good. You cannot trust your heart. Trust Jesus. Trust the one who gave you the heart. You cannot be saved without a new heart, but a new heart is not what saved you. Salvation is of the Lord. God's people have no confidence in the flesh. Just when you think you're doing the right thing, you probably should stop for just a moment and look to Christ. Lord, am I doing the right thing? Is it for your glory, not for mine? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen, God.